Okay, so we're looking at scene 7. And scene 7, as I said, is back in Philip's work, back with Case at Brooklyn Guarantee. And it's a short but important scene because it's a scene where we continue to see this disintegration of Philip, and particularly of Philip's identity. If you think about Philip for a minute and you think about the different things that kind of help make his identity, as we've seen it so far in the play, we've seen his relationship with Sylvia. That's a big part of his identity. He's described as a dictator by Margaret, but that sense of his position in the house as the kind of the alpha male, that's a part of his identity. His Jewishness, we know, is a huge part of his identity, both in a positive and in a negative way. He's proud of his Jewishness in terms of being the first Jew to work for Brooklyn Guarantee, his son being the first Jew to reach that level of the army. And yet he seems deeply ashamed of his Jewishness at the same time and wants to distance himself from that all the time. And then his work and his position in Brooklyn Guarantee, this company, is also a big part of his identity. He's someone who the company has trusted, he believes, who valued him as an employee, and he feels very much part of the Brooklyn Guarantee family, very much part of that that setup. As we know, previously in the play, he'd given his boss, Stanton Case, some advice. And the advice was about this building that Case wanted to buy for the Harvard Club. And Philip had advised against buying it because he'd said that Wanamaker's, the big department store on the block, looked like it was going to go out of business. And if Wanamaker's moved out of that block, it went out of business, then all of the property prices in that area would come down. And Stanton Case would end up having paid over the odds for something that then lost its value. As we said at the time, that was built on fairly tenuous logic. It was cleverly put together, but we admitted that Philip's logic was fairly tenuous, in that he'd made a lot of assumptions in reaching that conclusion that Wanamaker's was going to move out of business. So that takes us to scene 7. And in scene 7, we discover that indeed, as we predicted, Wanamaker's isn't going out of business, and Stanton Case has lost the bid for the building he wanted to buy. Property works a little bit differently, did it this time in America anyway, so rather than making an offer on a building and having that accepted, if you were interested in it, you'd put a bid in on it. And then on the closing date of the bids, the highest bid would win the property and get the building. So because of the advice that Philip had given him, Stanton Case would have put in a very low bid because he thought maybe the building wasn't worth that much after all, and he lost the bid, he lost the building. So this is the fallout to that, scene 7, and fallout to what happens. I'm going to try and put the recording near the speaker and see if it will pick up the recording as we go. Here we go. To explain that quickly, that's not in the script, the Arthur Miller script. It's the director of this play. He decided to put in that footage of Nazi Germany. It's the Nuremberg rally footage. I imagine it was probably projected up onto the stage, just as a kind of reminder of the context and the backdrop to this play. And we go into scene 7 now.
Excuse me?
Oh, good morning. You wanted to see me?
If you have a minute.
You don't look well. Are you all right?
I'm fine. Maybe a call coming on. I wanted you to know how bad I feel about 611 Broadway. I'm very sorry.
Yes. Well, so it goes, I guess.
I know you had your heart set on it, and I tell you, the news knocked me over. They gave me no sign they were talking to Alan Kershowitz or anybody
else.
It's
very disappointing. In fact, I'd already begun talking to an architect friend about renovations.
Really? Well, I can't tell you.
I've gotten a real affection for that building. Certainly would have made a perfect annex, and probably a great investment.
Well, not necessarily, if Wanamaker's ever pulls out.
Yes, about Wanamaker's, I should tell you, when I found out that Kershowitz had outbid us, I was flabbergasted after what you'd said about the neighborhood going downhill once the store was gone. Kershowitz is no fool, I need hardly say. So I mentioned it to one of our club members, who I know is related to a member of the Wanamaker board. He tells me there has never been any discussion whatever about the company moving out. He was simply amazed at the idea.
But the man at ABC...
ABC was left with the repair work because Wanamaker's changed to another contractor for their new boilers. It had nothing to do with the store moving out. Nothing.
I don't know what to say. I'm awfully sorry.
Well, it's a beautiful building. Let's hope Kershowitz puts it to some worthwhile use. Do you have any idea what he plans to do with it?
Me? Oh, no, I don't really know Kershowitz.
Oh, I thought you said you knew him for years.
Well, I know him, but not... We're not personal friends or anything. We just met at closings a few times and things like that. And maybe once or twice in restaurants, I think, but...
I see. I guess I misunderstood. I thought you were fairly close.
I hope you're not. I mean, I never mentioned to Kershowitz that you were interested in 611.
Mentioned? What do you mean?
Nothing. Just that it... It almost sounds like I had something to do with him grabbing the building away from you. Because I would never do a thing like that to
you. I didn't say that, did I? If I seem upset, it's being screwed out of that building. And by a man whose methods I never particularly admired.
Yes, that's what I mean. But I had nothing to do with Kershowitz.
Did I say you did? I'm not clear about what you wanted to say to me, all right? Have I missed something?
No, just that. What you just said.
What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry. I'd like to forget the whole thing.
What's happening?
Nothing. Really. I'm sorry, I troubled you.
The violin's obviously got a bit bored at that stage of playing the same old thing. He went a bit jaunty there, didn't he, for a minute? So anyway, scene seven. So as I said, scene seven important because we see another part of Philip's kind of identity and his life beginning to slip away from him and disintegrate. So let's have a quick look at it together. I'm going to pause the recording for a minute and give you a minute or two to look back through it. If you were going to pull out some quotes from scene seven to illuminate what's happening to Philip, to illuminate Philip's changing sense of identity and his kind of collapsing sense of identity, I suppose, then what would those quotes be? And also, what quotes would you pull out to show us what Case is like? Because I said 2 years ago to a class that Case was very unlikely to come up as a question, and lo and behold, Case came up as a question. So we've got to assume that he might do. So two things I wanted to have a quick look through. What quotes are we pulling out? What do the quotes show us about Philip's changing sense of identity, his mental state, and any quotes that show us something about Case and his role in the play. Give you a couple of minutes to look at that, and then we'll carry on.